Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented, as always, by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, November 27, 2020. And Cakes, it's a victory Friday driven by your local D.C. area dealers, Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop DCArea.AcuraDealers.com for current incentives. What's going on, Cakes?
It is a victory Friday. These are like unicorns. Victory Fridays are very, very rare around these parts. And a convincing victory Friday at that, with the Washington football team just going into Dallas and steamrolling the lifeless, pathetic, awful-looking Dallas Cowboys yesterday.
It's funny you bring up unicorns, because yesterday we did a bit that a lot of people do around the Thanksgiving dinner table. Now,
okay.
Ours was very small.
Right.
We were home. It was just the three of us. Like, Dylan wasn't with me. Kelsey stayed in New York.
Okay.
Because of kind of the quarantine rules. She's
sure.
At NYU. So it was the three of us, and we did the whole, well, what are you thankful for around the dinner table?
Yes.
And, you know, usually you say family, each other, that
right.
sort of thing. When it got to Isabella, and she's 3 and a half, she said, I'm thankful for unicorns.
Well, of course she should be. Now, when it got around to me, because we did our own with, you know, our family here.
Right.
And then we zoomed in with, you know, some family members. And, of course, we did the, what are you thankful for? And it's weird,
right.
And it's cringy, and it's kind of awkward. And I really wanted to also throw in at the end that I was very thankful for Will Fuller and his performance in the early game,
right.
Because he just went nuclear. But I thought that was probably inappropriate,
yeah.
You know, because this is kind of a muted Thanksgiving.
But
with
I know
COVID.
Who you are. That's what you're truly thankful for Will Fuller and Antonio Gibson.
Very
thankful. Carrying a big money fantasy team.
Thank you, Antonio Gibson. Thank you, Will Fuller. The bounty is great. It was a cornucopia of scoring yesterday, which I love.
It was, and Antonio Gibson has been a monster. I don't know why EB keeps saying every week, I don't know if he's really a running back. Maybe they should move him to wide receiver.
Well,
he's a damn good running back.
You know what?
What
am I doing on the Zoom?
You're patting yourself on the back.
I was red hot on Friday because I believe I gave you both two tingle plays.
Yes.
I said to play the Texans plus the points. That wound up swinging towards them being a favorite, which they should have been because the Lions are awful and terrible.
These are your Wednesday tingle plays.
Wednesday. I'm getting my days mixed up. I gave you the Texans. Mm-hmm. I also gave you Washington. And I believe when we had J.P. Finley on, I said, would it be crazy if Antonio Gibson had 20 carries against the Cowboys? I kind of see that script unfolding, and that's exactly what happened. They leaned on the rookie. That's the identity of this team. They want to run the ball.
That, Cakes.
I'm sorry?
We've been waiting for that.
Waiting for
Gibson to get that type of load at running back.
Yeah, and he got it in the first matchup with Dallas, and it was a similar script where they were playing from ahead. That was more with DiNucci at the helm at the FedEx Field game, a different animal because this one was closer, you know, throughout, and then it got blown open, you know, toward the end. Yeah, I mean, Gibson is just a monster find for them with 20 carries, 115 yards, averaged almost 6 yards per carry. and he finds the end zone. That dude has a nose for the end zone.
And the
only running back
cakes, they got longer and longer, which I love.
Which is amazing.
They got longer and longer. Here's the deal. A lot of people are waiting for this.
Yep.
Cakes is at home. We've been doing this since March. Of course, yes. He's at home. He doesn't have access to it. So, Ryan, I'm giving you the heads up. People want to hear, play that music, Cakes.
Play the music.
Oh, come on, Ryan.
There we go. You know what? I'll say this. Ryan is subbing in for the Matt and Matt show. And he talked about, basically, before we went on the air, how do you guys do this every day? Wake up at this ungodly hour? So, He's a little brain foggy at this point, but he is going to get to 100% soon.
No, but that's what people want to hear, and people should celebrate this. It is a true unicorn because not only was it a win for Washington, they're in first place. That's a unicorn, and they're in first place at 4-7. That is the total unicorn, Cakes. That 4-7, typically, we'd be ripping a team that's 4-7. It'd be a disappointment, but this year, 4-7 has them in first place. And you look at the remaining schedules for the other teams, they got to be the favorite now at 4-7. I do believe the Giants will win on Sunday. They play
the Bengals.
The Bengals, who don't have Joe Burrow. So you'd expect them to get to 4-7. But after that, they have four games remaining against winning teams. I believe Washington just has the game against Pittsburgh. All right. Mm-hmm. Probably going to lose that one.
That's
and
a
then
tough
they've
one.
Got Seattle. But the rest of the games are winnable. Not saying they're going to win, but they are winnable. Let's open up the phone lines, the AAA Always On Call listener lines, 800-636-1067. If you want to bask in the glory of a win, play the music again, Ryan. That's what people want to hear. Washington gets a convincing win, and there are so many things to talk about in the game. I mean, I think the play of the game momentum-wise was Terry McLaurin chasing down Jalen Smith.
Had to be.
Would have been a pick six, would have tied the game. Instead, he pulls the DK Metcalf, goes full speed, tackles Jalen Smith, and then the defense stepped up. Defense made big plays, forced him to a field goal. So to me, that was the play of the game.
Absolutely. I mean, it just shows you know, why Terry McLaurin was named a captain. I mean, the dude never quits on plays, whether it's on offense or whether it's chasing down Jalen Smith and you just swiping his legs a few yards before he gets to the end zone. And that sort of thing, it has to be infectious to the rest of his team. When everybody sees their best wide receiver playing like that, it has to inspire the rest of the guys to want to give that similar, same sort of effort that he gave. And that was a huge play. I mean, when Smith threw the pick, I mean, your heart just sank. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe he threw that ball. But, you know, from the replay, he just didn't see the linebacker there. He should have just taken a sack. Bad play by him. And, you know, Alex Smith is usually the guy that's not going to throw you out of a game, not going to make that backbreaking play. But Terry McLaurin bailed him out with his effort and hustle on that play.
So that was a huge play. But I do think we need to talk more and more about Alex Smith. Still early for me. We'll see how he fares against the Steelers and the rest of the schedule. But maybe Rick Snyder was onto something a couple weeks ago when he wrote the column and said Alex Smith should be the starter next year because he conducts the offense in a way that we expect. Cakes throws a lot to his running backs, but generally speaking, the offense is so much better right now with Alex Smith. And we've talked about his mobility. Maybe it's not great, but I don't think it's terrible. You saw him bootleg. You saw him move around a little bit.
Yeah.
For a couple of scrambles.
He's not Andy Dalton. I mean, Andy Dalton, if there's pressure, you know he's just going to go down. He's going to get sacked. He's going to get, you know, just swallowed up by the defense. I mean, Alex Smith is not the Alex Smith of old where he would rely on his legs and his wheels to make plays. Now I think it's more out of survival mode and desperation mode, but he can still do it if needed. But he doesn't have that same sort of burst, obviously, that he used to.
It's early. I'm just saying, it's maybe not the worst thing in the world if you enter next year with Alex Smith as a starter. I would draft somebody, but because of his contract situation, maybe you hold on to Alex Smith for one more year, and none of us really expected that.
Yeah, the only thing that just concerns me is just inability or unwillingness to push the ball downfield. I mean, it's just, you know, as you mentioned, it's a lot to the running backs. It's a lot to, you know, Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas scores again. I mean, that guy's having a pretty good season. I mean, his numbers are not eye-popping, but he has been effective. And he gives you that little added bonus, too, where he's throwing passes.
Nice completion.
He's running the Wildcat at, you know, like, he's a nice little piece, like, for that offense. Now, again, he's not a Pro Bowler. He's not, you know, Travis Kelce 2.0, but I think he's delivered what Washington had hoped for when they signed him this offseason.
And speaking of delivering, we saw the defensive line deliver. And we knew that was going to be a key to the game. Well, two things. They shut down Ezekiel Elliott.
Yep.
So you knew step number one, focus on Zeke, and they shut him down in the first game. And then you make Dallas one-dimensional with Dalton dropping back, and the pass rush got to him. Chase Young got a sack. Tim Settle's got 5 sacks this season, Cakes.
Those are some eye-popping numbers.
He barely plays.
I know. For a situational guy, a rotation guy, to have 5 sacks, I mean, he's going to have 8 or 9 when the season's done. I mean, that's crazy. From a fifth-round pick to get that sort of production, so good for him.
It was a great game defensively for Washington. They did give up the big play early. That's part of their brand.
Right.
They like to give up big plays downfield.
Washington loves nothing more than to give up big, chunky plays.
Right.
And the one to Amari Cooper. And the most frustrating thing about it was Darby was he looked like he was running stride for stride with him, and then he got turned around a little bit. Cooper may have shoved off a tad, but you know, there's always going to be hand fighting between the wide out and the corner. That's just par for the course. And he got that one step on him when he needed to. Dalton delivered a really good ball, and that was it. So yeah, that is something that Jack Del Rio and company need to work on. That needs to be shored up. But I don't think it's going to happen at this point. I mean, we're 11 games into the season.
Yeah. Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. Would love to hear some from fired up Washington football team fans. And here's the thing, Cakes. I was thinking about this. So we're doing the show, kind of like the old school pregame show. It's just a two-man show.
That's right.
Me and Cakes.
Throwback.
We know it's the day after Thanksgiving. 99% of the people out there have the day off, including our castmates, including our radio cohorts.
Yeah.
EB's at the beach. Jason's been doing his wraparound vacation, which seemingly gives him 2 weeks off.
Even both producers are off.
Both producers are off. But here's the thing. We're actually live, and as far as I know, we're going over the airwaves. Now, in the history of the show, we once did a show broadcast to nobody.
Yes,
and
that's
we figured it out in the middle of the show. Just to give you the backstory, when we were nationally syndicated via Westwood One, it was the same time that our station, WJFK, was the rights holders of the Washington Redskins. And there was a Monday Night Football game, so we knew that we weren't going to be heard on WJFK because JFK was going to be carrying the game. But people told us, oh, but you still have to do a show for all of your affiliates all across the country.
Right.
Well, all of our affiliates across the country were Westwood One, and they carried the Monday Night Football game. So for some reason, we go to Crystal City, we start doing a show, and then in the middle of the show, we realized we hadn't taken one phone call.
Right.
And we realized every affiliate was carrying the game. Not one was carrying us. We were literally broadcasting to no one.
I want that 4 hours of my life back. Can we get that somehow? I don't think it's possible.
I know you don't want the computers they had there.
They had a bunch of Commodore 64s lying around that building. And it was 30 years past the Commodore 64 being introduced. Trust me.
Computers with the green screen.
Green or orange.
Right.
Like orange type on the screen.
Yes. All right, so we want to hear from you just so we know there are people listening.
Correct.
800-636-1067. Just to give you the lineup on today's show, we are packed. Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, he'll join us at 8 o'clock. Chris Russell, the Rooster, who was doing post-game yesterday, he'll join us at 8:20. By the way, I happen to be driving home from my mom's house. We just popped over for a very brief visit. We didn't do Thanksgiving there, but we wanted to drop off some food.
Okay, it's
I
nice.
Watched the rest of the Washington-Dallas game there. And then we take off, and I'm listening to the post game on 106.7 The Fan with Rooster. First caller, Vic from Akakeek. And Vic shouted out the Junkies,
nice,
saying basically that he's been telling us for years, Cakes, that Washington has enough talent to win. So I don't know if Vic is going to chime in on our show, but he already shouted us out on with the Rooster yesterday. So anyway, the Rooster's going to join us at 8:20. We got Jason Lockefora from CBS Sports, Raider.com, NFL Insiders. We preview the rest of the NFL weekend. He'll jump on at 9 o'clock. And Stucky from the Action Network to give us winners. Ryan, play the music. It is a Victory Friday here on the Junkies. Keep it here. We'll come back with some of your calls next on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on a Victory Friday, driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives. JP and Cakes coming to you live this Friday morning, basking in the glory of a 41-16 thrashing of the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Washington improves to 4-7. That puts them atop the NFC East standings. Play the music, Ryan. That's what people want to hear. And I hear that the phone lines are locked and loaded, Cakes.
Yes, they are.
Let's touch the people. But actually, before we touch the people, just a quick grilling of Mike McCarthy. I think it is merited and deserved.
Yes.
What is that bozo doing? In critical moments against a team that's not exactly moving the ball down the field and putting together these long drives over and over again.
Yeah.
They go for it on a fourth down. Terrible play call there.
One of the worst play designs I've ever seen. Now, look, I'm no play calling guru, but that thing looked doomed from the beginning.
Right. And that was a bad decision. But the worst decision was the fake punt. You're deep in your own territory.
That's what I was talking about.
But they also had a horrible fourth down call, Cakes, earlier in the game.
Oh, that was dreadful, too. But right. It was overshadowed by the fake punt.
The fake punt was dreadful. And it's a close game there. It's a close game. Again, Washington's not stringing together these 90-yard drives. They're taking advantage of short fields. So why roll the dice? He's a bozo.
I told you months, if not years ago, that McCarthy, that hiring was buffoonery at its highest level, and you're seeing it play out. Now, he lost Dak, okay? He lost the engine of his offense, and Zeke is reduced right now. He's trying to deal with a hamstring injury. He's not 100%. The offensive line is in shambles. It's not all McCarthy's fault, but a lot of it's going to fall at his feet, especially with some of that dubious play calling that you're mentioning. Yeah.
Look, I understand he's behind the eight ball in terms of talent. Didn't have Dak Prescott. Then he lost his two starting tackles, and they weren't even really starting tackles because he moved Zach Martin from guard over to tackle. So he loses his tackles. But that's decision-making.
Certainly.
Okay? So there's a special teams coach that has that crazy play drawn up, and he sells the head coach on, hey, we've got this in our bag of tricks. Let's go for it. That's when the coach takes a look at the scoreboard and says – and looks at where they are on the field and says, I'm shutting that down, my friend. We're not doing that right now. We're punting the ball to Alex Smith, who throws for less than 200 yards. By the way, J.P. Finley gave us that great nugget on Friday that I believe dating back to 2016, when Alex Smith completed more than 65% of his passes and threw for under 200 yards undefeated.
It's unreal.
That's the formula.
It's uncanny. It is the formula, because if you can get the sort of rushing performance out of Antonio Gibson that you got yesterday, by the way, he did something a rookie hasn't done since Randy Moss did it by scoring 3 touchdowns as a rookie on Thanksgiving when Moss was a Viking and did it against the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, what a great performance. You pair that with, you know, your defense stepping up and playing well. That's the way that Ron Rivera wants to win games. He doesn't want Alex Smith going out and throwing for 350 yards. If it happens from time to time, okay, he can deal with it. But he'd much rather bleed the clock. He wants to play old school football and to run the ball. And the formula worked to perfection yesterday with Gibson. I mean, Gibson is putting up some pretty eye-popping numbers for a guy who's still getting accustomed to playing running back in the NFL. Wait until he really knows what he's doing.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's touch the people. Play the music some more, Ryan. That's what people want to hear. Let's go to Mike in Crofton. Mike, you're on with JP and Cakes from the Junkies. What's going on? I don't think you want to play that music.
It's okay. We're going to have a few technical snafus.
That's Mike in Crofton's music.
Oh, Mike has his own music?
Mike was doing a bit?
Who knew?
I think we're going to have to move on from Mike. Let's go to College Park.
We are moving on, but I'm weirdly intrigued by the music he was playing.
Yes.
Now I kind of need to know what it was.
Let's go to Dave in College Park on line two. Dave, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Dave, what's up?
Well, listen, yesterday was definitely a great performance. It was a solid game. And it's clear that, obviously, Rivera has confidence in Alex to run a smooth offense, to not turn the ball over. And the way this defensive front's playing, and as you said, with Mike McCarthy making the boneheaded decisions on these stupid fourth down plays, they just handed the game to the Redskins, Washington team, and then they got confident and they kept running the ball. And you could just see that Washington's outperforming them in all categories. So it's definitely proves that this team is going in the right direction. And I think that's the biggest thing to take away from that they want to see going down the stretch, whether they make the playoffs or not, that they're playing well, they got a good running back, good pressure up front. Now, the next few teams they play are going to be really tough because if you look on the schedule, they've been throttled by every team over 500. They've lost by double digits.
Correct.
So we'll see if they are really going in the right direction, you know, and that, you know, you got all three teams, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Seattle, throw the ball well. So we're going to be really tested. You think Darby was lit up yesterday? Wait till Big Ben, Wilson. And I don't know about the 49ers. They're a power football team, but I'm hoping. But I really love the game. I really love the way they're headed. And it's a positive experience. And I think we got to give Ron Rivera some credit. You guys, a few weeks ago, were really bashing him and talking about would you all take a buyout on this guy? Now, a couple weeks later, and the team looks like they're moving in the right direction, and they're playing fired up. You have to look at the players on it. They're fired up. They're excited. So you guys were bashing him a few weeks. I think you
right.
Gotta,
oh, we'll give him his credit. We'll give him credit now, of course.
I think you have to give him credit, but I wouldn't go so far as to say they're headed in the right direction. They may be, but you have to consider who they are beating. So they beat the Bengals last week. They've won two in a row, and I don't want to take that away from them. But they beat the Bengals last week. Joe Burrow was having himself a pretty good day until he got bounced out of the game. So to me, and the Bengals aren't a good team, right? Same thing with the Cowboys. They're a terrible team. Washington has yet to beat a team. Forget about a winning record. They've yet to beat a team with four wins.
Yeah, but you know what? Right. Not going to focus on that today. Going to focus on the positive. Today's the day to celebrate. Today's the best 4-7 day you're ever going to have in your life.
That is true.
This is the peak 4-7 in your lifetime. So enjoy it.
And I can make an argument that EB would make. If you actually look at the last six games, so they started off really poorly, getting drubbed by teams like the Cardinals, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Rams. They lost by more than two touchdowns in every one of those games. Then every game since has been close. They lose to the Giants when they went for the two-point conversion at the end, so they lose by a point. They beat the Cowboys 25-3. Lose to the Giants again, that's a field goal game. Lose to the Lions, field goal game, and then they've won their last two. So I tend to agree with them that they're trending in the right direction, but I still haven't seen them beat a team with more than three wins.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you can't argue the quality of opponents they've beaten has been subpar, but look, this is a team that's coming off a 3-13 season with a lot of flux and change during the offseason with Rivera coming in. And as the caller mentioned, you know, we were bashing him a few weeks ago, but I give him all the credit in the world for going into Dallas and coaching circles around Mike McCarthy yesterday to deliver a convincing Thanksgiving Day win. And by the way, I tweeted this out yesterday at Money Metal Cakes. Here is your list of running backs who have scored more rushing touchdowns this season than Antonio Gibson. You ready for this list?
I know it's not long.
Dalvin Cook.
Right.
That's the list. There are no more names. Dalvin Cook and Antonio Gibson are your top two touchdown producers at the running back spot through 11 weeks. That's a pretty good find by the Washington scouting team to land that guy in the third round and now are utilizing him in a fashion where he's becoming the centerpiece of the offense.
All right, phone lines are locked and loaded, 800-636-1067. You want to call us on the AAA Always On Call listener lines. Let's head out to Burtonsville. Dan, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You know, I want to bring something up real quick. Ryan Kerrigan. You know, his numbers are down a little bit. He's not playing as much. But there's one thing I'd like to see you guys look into a little bit, and that is how much he affects those other three people on the front when he's in there. It appears that their performance is significantly increased when he's on that left edge.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably hard to quantify, but we had Jonathan Allen on the show this week, and he praised the fact that not only guys like Ryan Kerrigan are giving them a chance to rest up a little bit more, but guys like Tim Settle are coming in and making plays. So there's more of a rotation, and they're fresh. And then you're talking about when Ryan Kerrigan's on the field with some of those guys, of course they benefit because the offensive line has to pay attention to Ryan Kerrigan. So I think it's probably hard to quantify with exact numbers, but you've heard the players say that he has a big impact.
And one thing about freak players, typically they actually have, without injuries, their longevity is about 20% higher than the average. And the interesting thing is he's beginning to adapt, and as he's losing a little bit of speed, he's gaining a lot of smarts. I think a really good analogy to that is, remember Darryl Green at the end of his career. He lost two steps, but such a smart defensive back. Same thing, as this guy gets older, I wouldn't discount, and I think I'd pay a salary.
Yeah, I mean, he's being impactful. Heading into the game, he was the second leading sack guy.
Yep.
With limited snaps. I mean, the snap count, I'd looked at it. I didn't see what it was for yesterday's game. It usually takes a day till you see the snap counts. But heading into yesterday's game, he was typically around kind of the 30% range. So, you know, they kind of give Montez and Chase Young two series, and then Ryan Kerrigan might get a series. And, you know, he's on the field occasionally with those guys too. But basically where he is. He's in that 30% range. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you
for the call, Dan.
Phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. Let's go to our pal Marvin Landover. Marvin, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Junk.
Hey, Marvin, what's up?
You're waking up early with us. You're feeling good about the win, huh?
Oh, my goodness. You know something? I almost didn't make it. You know, I ate myself to a coma yesterday. So I was lucky to wake up on time. I'm amazed that you guys are here. I thought this was going to be some kind of a taped show. I was like, oh no!
Come on, Marvin, we're grinders over here. We grind through it. At least half of us.
You're grinding. You're grinding. And I'm almost mad at EB and Lurch for not being here.
It's all good, man. It's the holidays.
By the way, Marvin, we should highlight this. Marvin, before you get going, we should highlight this. Jason went out of his way to get his Friday morning fatty in. He texted on Wednesday, and do you remember what he texted?
I can't remember now.
He texted Dallas was his play.
Big loser. Big fat loser he texted.
What a hater.
And the over. So, man, oh, goodness gracious. They crushed them. And I'm going to tell you, there's really nothing better than a Washington win over Dallas. I said there's two things. I said makeup sex and finding money. And I was like, that's the only thing better than beating the Cowboys. I just like, it's crazy. I'm not supposed to sit there and lose my mind because of course.
Marvin, what are your thoughts on Alex Smith at this point? He's had a couple starts under his belt.
Man, I would love for him to stop throwing an interception 1 yard away from the line of scrimmage. Other than that, he's been really good. He steadied the ship. Really, he steadied the ship. And I'm going to tell you what my definition of good coaching is, okay? Because I have been very, 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 very hard on Ron Rivera and Ron Turner and Del Rio. But the truth is, good coaching is conviction, okay? They believe what they do works. They believe what they do will work. And they believe they're doing something good. And even through all the criticism that all of us have been giving them over the first 10 weeks, because it's been really, really spotty. Like sticking with McKissick and Antonio Gibson when we let go of Adrian Peterson. They said, well, these two are talented. If we just keep giving them, we keep working them, they're going to show you what we're seeing. And that's exactly what's starting to happen. And, you know, like the defensive line is good, but they need more. They need to do more. And the linebackers need to, everything is about building. And I should know that because, I mean, I'm I hate to say it because it's not on the same level, but I'm a youth football coach, and I remember all those parents behind you saying, you can't coach. But then I just kept doing what I was doing, and then I took my team to the playoffs like four straight years.
There you go. There it is.
1-9 or something.
Hey, you have something in common.
I fell victim to it.
Marvin, you have something in common with me and Cakes. We've both led flag football teams.
Yeah, I led mine to zero wins.
You never got a win? Never even won?
No. I told you, it was a two-team league. We were up against basically the 85 Bears. We couldn't beat them. What are you going to do? Thanks for the call, Marvin. We appreciate it. We haven't even touched on the wackadoo play by Scott Turner where Alex Smith snaps the ball. He shifts over, and McKissick is lined up tight to him in the backfield. He's, like, right behind one of the offensive linemen. Places the ball on the turf right underneath McKissick, and he just picks it up and runs with it. Loved it. I love that little that tweak, that weird play that, you know, that nobody's expecting. Definitely caught Dallas off guard. And you have to give him credit for calling a really good game. They rode their horse. They rode Antonio Gibson to a just convincing win in Dallas, which is something that's a rarity for them. I was shocked by the fact that Dallas before yesterday was 8-1 against Washington on Thanksgiving. So now Washington has two wins in Dallas on Thanksgiving and gets them to 4-7, has them in the playoff mix.
182 yards rushing for Washington against Dallas. We knew Dallas's defense was weak, particularly against the run, but I do love the fact that it's going heavier and heavier to Antonio Gibson. He has 20 carries for a 115, three touchdowns, and was targeted 7 times, Cakes.
Love
ended
that.
Ended up catching 5 balls. Not a ton of yards, but I'd much rather see them throw the checkdowns to Antonio Gibson than to J.D. McKissick because I just feel like he finishes better.
He's more physical. I mean, he's just a bigger dude. He's a hammer. And you know, when they keep giving him 7 targets, you know, he's going to rip one of those that he's catching for 5.5 or 6. He's going to take one for 50 at some point to the end zone. He's got that sort of breakaway talent. I mean, you saw it at Memphis. You've seen how he thunders through runs at the end where he just moves the pile. He's going to have some of those explosive plays coming down the stretch, no doubt about it.
All right, got to take a break. We'll come back with more of your calls. Ryan, play the music. The phone number is 800-636-1067. You can call us on the AAA Always On Call listener lines. The Washington football team is in first place. They swept Dallas with the convincing win in Dallas, 41-16. We're taking your calls celebrating throughout the morning on a Victory Friday here on The Fan. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, celebrating a Washington football team win. It is a Victory Friday driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop D.C. area AcuraDealers.com for current incentives. Just want to give props to our guy Ryan, who's filling in not only for Matt Valdez, he's also filling in for Drab T-Shirt. And so he is doing all of kind of the technical aspects on the show, like playing the music. And people want to hear the music, Ryan.
They do.
But he's also answering the phone calls. And he's not on our Google Hangout, so we're having a little bit of a tough time communicating who's on the phones with us.
Yeah, I'm having
kind of going old school. He's just kind of letting me know, and I'm writing them down, and then I'm writing them down for Cakes in our little Google Hangout so that he can see.
All I'm trying to do is add Ryan to the Google Hangout, and I somehow I just can't do it. I can't pull it.
Why don't you just hit your head on the wall, Cakes?
Probably should. It would accomplish about the same. Let me just, before we get to the calls, I would like to give a big Thanksgiving thank you. I give thanks to having Will Fuller and Antonio Gibson on the same fantasy football team. Thank you. Thank you for your performances yesterday. You're vaulting us into a very nice score, hopefully this weekend, with a lot of guys still left to go. Thank you for what you did. It's appreciated.
All right, phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. We are basking in this victory. Look, we understand Washington's not a great football team. We understand they're 4-7. But, hey, they're in first place. They've won their last two games. Maybe they are trending in the right direction. I know they haven't beaten a team with a winning record, but it's a crazy year, 2020, and this may actually be good enough.
I mean,
if they can win two more games, Cakes, if they can just win two more games, I think they'll be in the playoffs because I think six wins wins the division.
Not only that, you double your win total from last year's just disastrous 3-13 campaign. And I'm sorry, I would deem that a success in year one under Coach Rivera. If you double your win total in a weird year where you play three quarterbacks and you wind up relying on Alex Smith, who nobody ever thought would play a down in the NFL ever again, let alone play meaningful snaps and help lead teams to wins. I give the guy kudos for coaching through a lot of adversity. Oh, and by the way, battling cancer while he's doing it all the while. So pretty good performance by Coach Rivera so far.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Mickey is in Baltimore. Mickey, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
JP, Cakes, what's up?
Hey, Mickey, what's up, man?
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, Mickey.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm driving around on the New Jersey Turnpike in a truck right now.
Okay.
I got to say, yesterday, that was the first game that I started to believe in Scott Turner as an offensive coordinator. I thought he pitched a really good game. Up to that point, I really hadn't seen anything. But I like some of those trick plays, the Logan Thomas pass to McLaurin, that weird J.D. McKissick run, the little wildcat thing. And I also wanted to say the offensive line and their offensive line coach, they're really, I don't know how they put whatever they put together out there, but they did a good job yesterday.
Yeah, and I think the neighborhood that they want to live in is where they were yesterday, with Alex Smith attempting in the mid-20s passing-wise. They don't want to be like in the Detroit game where he had to sling the ball 55 times. They're in the sweet spot the last two wins with Alex with 25 attempts and 26 attempts yesterday against the Cowboys. If he starts getting up into the 40, 45, 50 attempts, yeah, you're getting away from Coach Rivera's secret sauce. He wants to win with defense, and he wants to run the ball, and he wants to shorten the games. And he could do that if Alex Smith is in the mid-20s with attempts like he was yesterday.
The crazy aspect about this game is they had two punts, Cakes. One is Washington only had two punts.
It's bizarre.
Usually Tressway is out there every 10 minutes during a Washington football team game. So they only had two punts. The offense, it's starting to figure some things out. As Cake said, it's going to be rare. I know he did have a 390-yard game. It's going to be rare when Alex Smith throws for 300 yards. That's just not who Alex Smith is. If you remember 2018, they were winning ball games with Alex Smith under center at 1.6-3 in the year, 6-4 after he gets hurt, with Alex Smith typically throwing for around 175 yards. That was what he was doing. But apparently that's a formula that works for him. Pound the football, particularly against a defense like Dallas, where you know you can run against them, and then take care of the ball. And generally he does. I know he had a near pick six, which, again, we started off the show by saying play of the game is Terry McLaurin chasing down Jalen Smith.
Absolutely.
Because if Dallas gets that pick six and converts it, it's a tie game. And you would say that they have momentum. Instead, they're in the hole. Then later they have the wacky fake punt, give him a short field. Antonio Gibson punches it in, and they don't look back. And then Montez Sweat made a great play. It was really a great overall game in basically every department for Washington.
By the way, some salty Dallas fans were seemed upset. They were like, what a lack of sportsmanship by Washington football, by Montez Sweat scoring at the end. What are you talking about? What sort of planet are you living on where he's not going to go into the end zone there? He's not going to score and really salt the game away? Come on, get over yourselves.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Chevy Chase. Lucas, you're on with JP and Cakes from the Junkies. What's going on?
Hey, yeah. What's up, guys?
Hey, Lucas.
I wanted to say that I'm thankful for the Dallas special teams coach for that fake punt. That might have been the dumbest play I've ever seen in my life. The only place I've ever seen that play, what were they? Were they on their 30 and they did that fake punt? I've only ever seen that in Madden from my little brother. And I smoke that kid.
Yeah.
I smoke that kid every time he runs that play. Like, I was on the floor laughing when I saw that. There was 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter and they were down by 4. Like,
Yeah, they were deep in their own. I don't know if it was the 30, but they were certainly deep in their own territory.
24-yard line
when they ran that play. I mean, that was ill-advised. They're on their 24. Yeah,
24. I think that play, like a lot of people say that, yes, Terry McLaurin tracking down Jalen Smith was the play of the game. But as soon as they did that and we stopped it, it was at that moment I was like, yeah, it's a W. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's think about it. We were joking about Mike McCarthy being a bozo earlier. The game, yeah. it's 20-16. It's a 4-point game. You're on your 24-yard line. Punt the ball to the team that is not really stringing together a bunch of 80-yard drives. Punt the ball away and live to play another down, right? Instead, they go for the wacky punt. They give the ball back to Washington, and then on the very next play, Antonio Gibson, 23-yard rush for a touchdown. Now it's 27-16, and the game is totally different.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to be sure to also buy a CeeDee Lamb jersey because I appreciate the drop touchdown and the bot on the fake punt. So he might as well be playing for us now. But thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eagle. And
weekend.
By the way, the chef's kiss on that Antonio Gibson touchdown run was him waving at the defender who was helpless and couldn't, you know, he knew he wasn't going to catch him on his way into the end zone. So he scored a little bit of flair, which
I
liked.
Oh, you like the showboat.
I like the showboat a little bit. I did like the showboat by Antonio Gibson.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Tim is in Petersburg. Tim, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing, Junkies?
What's up,
Tim?
Having
fun.
All right. I just wanted to let y'all know how wonderful that turkey tastes yesterday after beating up on the Cowboys like that. And having Antonio Gibson running those three touchdowns, something that hadn't been done since Randy Moss scored three touchdowns.
Yep.
And seeing how Alex Smith just handling our offense the way it's supposed to be. Hey, I understand the interception, but having McLaurin run the guy down, man, unbelievable. Man, what an athlete. Guys, I am so hyped up right now over this win over Dallas. Having my family members shut up and get out of my ear is just wonderful. The day is
Tim,
really...
Tim, turn down your radio. Tim, there's so much feedback going on. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. I'm glad you were able to silence the Dallas Cowboys fans in your family. I'm glad that they had nothing to crow about on Thanksgiving. That's a good thing. That's a positive.
No question about it, Cakes. And once again, the Washington football team at 4-7, they're in first place. Ryan, play the music, Ryan. That's what people want to hear.
Channeling my inner EB. Play the music.
Play the music. They're in first place. They've won two in a row. I understand the Steelers and the Seahawks.
Don't worry about that. You know what?
You know what?
24 hours to bask in the win.
They've got four wins. And the likelihood is Philly's going to go down. They suck. Carson Wentz has been terrible this year. He's not turning it around. You look at the schedule, they're not getting through that minefield.
Nope.
They're not getting the six wins.
Not looking good for them.
The Giants, kind of like them, they're going to get a win this week, but they got a brutal schedule after they play Cincinnati. All right? Even if you give them a win this week, they're going to have a really tough time getting more wins down the stretch if you look at their schedule. Dallas actually had the easiest schedule, but Washington exposed them. They're in first. They're the favorite to win the NFC East now, Cakes.
Looking that
way. There's no doubt about it. We'll continue to take your calls throughout as we celebrate the win here on a Victory Friday on The Fan, 800-636-1067.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.